Before we get started on the Earfluence podcast, for those of you in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, we'd like to tell you about the Miracle Moments Luncheon to benefit Easter Seals UCP Port Health. Earfluence, which produces this podcast, is a proud sponsor, and we'd like you to join us May 1st, 2024 at 11:30 Eastern Time at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary. This event helps raise funds and awareness for the life-changing direct services provided to more than 40,000 children, adults, and families living with disabilities, mental health, and substance challenges so they can live their best lives. We'll put more information on Easter Seals and the luncheon in the show notes, but again, that's Wednesday, May 1st at 11:30 at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary, and we hope to see you there. Welcome to the Earfluence Podcast, which is a podcast about podcasting from a podcast production company. I'm your host, Jason Gillikin, CEO of Earfluence. Today, we're going to talk about media communications training, how to be a more confident presenter, a better podcast host, and what this all can mean for your mental health. With me in the Earfluence Podcast studio at American Underground in downtown Durham is Ryan Carey, CEO of Better On. What's happening, Ryan?
What's up, everybody? Thank you for having me. I feel like we should have an audio file where you cue for like audience clapping when you welcome someone in.
We've got this Rodecaster Pro where I think you can program that. We just haven't done it yet. So you could do like wah, wah sounds.
That's the fun stuff.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. We can be the morning radio DJ.
Yes.
So Ryan, when we first got to American Underground, when we first started talking to the AU team, Tim and Laura and Gary and Steve, one of the first people they told me that I needed to connect with was Ryan Carey at Better On, because you've got this video production studio and you're doing some amazing things. And you know, if I remember right, you started out at AU and then moved to your own studio across the street from AU. So anyway, can you tell the audience about Better On?
Absolutely. Better On is a work in progress. And we are a practice space, really, for anybody who wants to get really better at just being who they are in a recorded environment. Better On began about 8 years ago when I sort of realized that coming from the video world I had been working in, a lot of people, not a surprise, didn't really want to rush to be recorded on camera. But I realized that if you could get better at that, then it's a skill that the world needs, the business world needs desperately, especially now. So over many years, I sort of developed different curricula to train people. And then I moved to Durham from Brooklyn, like 2017, and found American Underground and found the kind of budding startup scene here in Durham, and just I didn't hit the rocket boosters, but I really double down and realize that this skill, this need for the skill is not going anywhere. And that evolved really into testing out having a dedicated studio space, which really is not have a lot of bells and whistles. It's really just a camera and a place where somebody could watch themselves, because recording yourself and reflecting on what you see and repeating that process is sort of the mantra that has become the centerpiece of what Better On is. And of course, with COVID and everything, we've sort of just made the tiny switch where it's like, you don't have to come to us. Everybody's sitting in front of a camera, so you can get Better On video from anywhere in the world.
That's awesome. Record, reflect, repeat. So we chatted offline and you mentioned that, and that is just so important. It's something where even in podcasting, And with podcasting, like we always talk about record drunk and edit sober, right? Because you can just be totally loose and then we edit it. Sometimes video is not that way, but still you want to be able to reflect on that. And in podcasting, sometimes it can be really, really difficult to listen to yourself too. But with video, it's even harder. So I guess start with the mental, maybe block is the wrong word, but the mental challenge of, why aren't people comfortable with watching themselves on video or listening to themselves on a podcast? What is that?
It, I don't have, like, if we do this interview in 40 years, I'll probably still be trying to find the answer.
Yeah.
I think it is a deep dive into our, as humans, our sense of self, our sense of identity, our sense of perception, and fear, and threat. I think that when, you know, whether it's video or audio, the idea of a playback allows you the ability to step outside of yourself. It allows you to look in a very unique kind of mirror that is not you checking your, you know, your face in the morning. It's a very different, more powerful mirror.
I don't even like to check myself in the mirror.
Right.
In the morning.
Yeah. I'm good. I feel good. I'm out the door. Yeah. This, you know, turns that on its head a little bit. And I think one of the, I've learned a lot about this, but one thing is that we live in a society that is so much about perfection. It's so much about, even more now with social media, like, you know, erase the blemishes. There's no room for imperfection. However, imperfection is where the good stuff is.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that if I were to pick a sweet spot of where I want to be and where I want Betteron to be, it's to get people out of the mindset of perfection and realize that it doesn't exist. It's a myth. There's nothing is perfect. You're not perfect. You're not going to be perfect, but allow yourself to be in an imperfect version of yourself and watch that and become cool with that. And that's sort of like some of the gold where if you can set people free on that, they're unstoppable and they're valuable to their business. They're valuable to their family. They're valuable to their friends. They're valuable to themselves. So that's kind of where I want to guide people.
Yeah. That's so cool because that's where the personality comes in those imperfections. But what I found is that if you are comfortable with being on video, if you're comfortable being in a podcast, if you can get past that point where you're just so nervous and just so jittery about it and you can't think of anything else but, oh crap, I'm on this podcast, oh crap, I'm on this video. If you can get past that, then you can get to that point where you can start to showcase that personality that you have and showcase and lean into some of those imperfections.
Absolutely. It's something that I think people need to be taught that what they may perceive as weakness is actually their biggest strength.
Yeah.
And it's also their individuality. It is what people may say is their gift. And that's the thing about gifts. You gotta give them. So I always have this visual, at least when it comes to video, is that people are like, they don't want to be on camera because they think in their mind that the world is just going to laugh at them. They're going to watch their video and they have this mental image of people sitting at, you know, at their phone or at their desktop, you know, pointing and laughing. It's like this mental image. And what I have to break to people all the time is actually it's the opposite.
Yeah.
No one gives a shit.
Right.
Sorry, no one cares.
Right.
If you look at attention spans, you could look at all the crap that fills our minds and our feeds. No one's got time for you.
Yeah.
So the fact that you think that anybody's going to stop to point at the thing that only you see inside of yourself, they can't even see it. So let's change how we think about this. Let's move way past that and realize that you've got to try really, really hard to give these gifts out. And I'm sorry, but even if you try and you feel really good about it and you're like, man, my weaknesses have become strengths now. And hey, everybody, look at me. People still might not give a shit. It is a lot more to the strategy. So I find that in that changing people's minds, you know, what Betteron does is not about making anybody a star or make, you know, whatever, like getting followers or something stupid like that. It's about this, just them going through the exercise of presenting themselves. And that's where the good stuff is.
That's so great. Yeah. Nobody's going to care about your hair that's out of place. Nobody's going to care that you stumbled on that one word that you're beating yourself up over. Like, nobody is really going to care about that.
No.
Yeah. Wow. Like, how do you train people to be better on video? Like, what do you do?
So our core product is a 4-week boot camp, 4-week program. It's fully asynchronous. So, you know, we can work with hundreds of people at a given time. And, you know, for example, this year we have 9 separate cohort sessions that we are offering. So what we'll oftentimes do is we will send out a list of activities every single week for these 4 weeks. People will decide when they want to do the work. They don't have to do it live, so they can do it if they're a night owl, do it at night. If they need coffee, do it in the morning. Whatever that is, they may, you know, an example of an activity might be, okay, tell us your simple bio and do it in 60 seconds. Now stop the video, watch it, observe yourself, do it again in 30 seconds. Stop it, watch it, do it again in 15 seconds. And have people sort of go through those exercises. And then before they submit all of their videos to us by a deadline, they need to watch everything and reflect and send us a reflection video too. Mm. So they repeat that for 4 weeks. And the activities right now with our sort of foundational curriculum vary from tone of voice to physical space to body movement to eye contact to just whatever it takes to get people a little bit more activated.
Yeah.
And what we do, we have a team of who we call guides. Mm-hmm. Our guides receive their people's work and within 48 hours respond back with an asynchronous video. Mm. So even if we're working with 100, 200, 300 people at a given time, that participant is working with their one-to-one better on team member.
Yeah.
So it's a very personalized, private, safe experience. But because of asynchronous video, it lets us work with a lot of people at a given time.
That's awesome. So what kind of feedback are your clients getting from your guides? Like what are they saying to them?
In terms of really the guide participant relationship, it is one-to-one, it is personalized, it is private. We're really all about safety. We're asking people to try and be their most authentic selves on camera and send those files to someone who they don't know personally.
Yeah.
So we really respect this relationship. And from the beginning, the relationship and the feedback tends to be sort of what you might expect from what you, when you look around the video world, what people may struggle with: lighting, audio, eye contact, some basic stuff. But the journey is very personalized. We tend to meet people wherever they are and wherever they want to be going. So if somebody tells us, you know, through their asynchronous videos, I really struggle with this one thing, we're gonna pull from the better on toolbox. Well, here's what we want you to work on, but based on what you're telling us, here's where we want you to kind of go. I think that when we think about the mirror imaging here, we look at how people are reflecting on what they see, there is so much that only they know. Mm. There is something that, you know, if your hair is out of place, something aesthetic,
yeah,
that's one thing. But a lot of, you know, emotional and confidence work comes up. So we rely on this relationship that we create for people to feel comfortable telling us, hey, I struggle with this and no one can see it. Can you help me? Mm. And that's where the, you know, it's a wide open opportunity where it's like, oh my gosh, of course. Yeah. So,
all right. That's helping somebody out with getting to the confidence that they need,
right,
to be on video. I'm curious about, what about the other way, where somebody is actually pretty darn confident, but you're like, you know what, you can improve this. Like how harsh are you in your criticism? How real are you in your criticism to make sure that these people are getting to the next level?
So I'm glad you use the word criticism, because we don't use that word.
Okay.
And it's important to designate here that better on is the opposite of media training. It's
okay.
The opposite of presentation skills training. It is very much helping people simply see who they are. And that's it.
Mm.
If they want to use that to become a better presenter, have at it.
Yeah.
Now, that is a great question, because, you know, before people kick off, we send them a basic intake survey where it's like, hey, how do you feel 1 to 10 being on camera? How do you feel 1 to 10, you know, watching yourself? And it's a pretty simple stuff.
Yeah.
And as you can imagine, certain kinds of people, men, often are like, oh, I'm a 10. I feel like it's, oh man, I'm probably a 9 there. And you watch the videos and it's like, really? But that's my personal thing. Like, and that is not, you know, that's not how we approach the work.
Yeah.
So And it's not up to me or anybody to look from the outside and say, well, sir, you clearly are just a two. It is about them being able to see it in themselves. So more than not, people quickly are like, oh, I'm not a 10. And, you know, there is no feeling or thought or judgment there. It's like we as Better On guides can only work with what people tell us they notice in themselves. And it's not our job to be like, it's not our job to criticize or give any feedback. So it's more of a conversation instead of being like, you know, and the reason I say it's anti presentation skills training, many moons ago, I took presentation skills training while I was working in sales, and it was like, it was very threat-based without meaning it to be, meaning that I got up and gave a presentation and the coach or whoever, their response was like, okay, there are 10 things wrong with you. Which immediately it's like, oh shit, I'm not good. We only have time to work on 3 of them. And it's like, oh my God, I can't be fixed.
Yeah.
That's not a positive experience. So we try to really turn that on its head and just work with people to, you know, push them wherever they want to be pushed.
Right.
I do think though, the future of Better On, there are different levels because some people want more. They're like, give it to me, give it to me straight. So someday we'll probably get a little bit more in the weeds there.
Yeah. And that's our podcast. So sometimes want that, like, how do we get to that next level? So we started working with Raleigh Magazine, and Gina Stevens, the publisher, is the host of this podcast. And she's always like, give it to me straight. Tell me what I need to do. How do I get better? And she's excellent at it. And so I remember our recording session last week where my only direction was, you need to smile more. And just so she could be slightly more energetic when she was doing what turned out to be an ad read, right?
Interesting.
Yeah. And like, she took that advice and it was a better read. But, you know, sometimes some clients, some people on camera, some people in podcasts don't necessarily want to hear it. They want to make sure, they just want to get to that point where they're confident and it's good.
It's the relationship we're building with participants who we will never meet live and never meet in person is truly fascinating.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes, and I'm just thinking back on, I've worked with so many people who I'll never meet, but there's a deep bond created between myself and this participant or our team members and these participants. And it's such a case by case where you kind of got to read the room in a way where because some people say, hey, look, I know I'm not the best, but you need to cut to the chase here. And it's a case by case. So sometimes, you know, maybe at the very end of the journey, it's like, look, you really, you know, I'm really going to give it to you hard. Like you fell off, you were working well here and now you've fallen off and you need to get back to this. So in that sense, like, you know, presence to me is a muscle that we're helping people tone. Everybody's muscles, you know, they're just different.
Yep. So let's talk about COVID.
Let's talk about COVID.
Let's talk about the pandemic.
Sure.
All right, so the pandemic hits and all of a sudden everybody's got to be on camera. Like, there's so many Zoom meetings and there's Loom videos now that we can do. How did Better On change? And was there just an increase in demand because of the pandemic?
I think COVID presented a lot of opportunities. And I think, if I was going to summarize it, what it told me as the founder of this business is not to change a thing. It's to go deeper and continue along the road of just what this vision is. Because yes, everyone's on camera more and all of these kind of, you know, blemishes are going to pop up. Everyone's like, oh man, I'm on camera now. My hair's out of place. But I think what it taught me is that the psychological need is not going away, and it's even more.
Oh, yeah.
People even more so now need that sense of self, that sense of identity, that self-awareness, that confidence. So it's just, you know, so of course, you know, we could do it at scale, which from a business perspective is great. And I want to scale the heck out of this thing. Yeah. But from like a core values perspective, it really was like, oh, this is going to open the door because there's going to be even more of a need now because people's mental health is suffering.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that was the biggest thing. But you know, from a logistical perspective, before I moved to Durham, I was testing out doing better on remotely, and decided I didn't like it because I, as a coach, as a guide, got more out of being in a room with someone.
Yeah.
And I was like to myself, it's like, if I'm going to do this as a career, I want to be in a room to feel the energy. So I'm not interested in working with, you know, a team in San Francisco and doing it across the country. Changed my tune a little bit, yeah. but just because we were forced to test it, yeah. And I had not tested doing it asynchronously. This new world of asynchronous video is really the direction that I'm fascinated by. So that's opened the door.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these boot camps are just gonna be so powerful for you and so helpful. Like, you know, when you're in these Zoom meetings and you're just not feeling yourself, you're just not comfortable with yourself, like you can't get the best ideas out there. Like you can't present it. Like you're going to be way more shy if you're let's picture yourself in a meeting with five different people and you don't want to be noticed. You are not going to get your ideas out there. Like it's just the fact of it. And, you know, sometimes these are tips and getting down to tips, but like, you know, you might want to just turn off being able to see yourself on camera if that's the case. But you know, ultimately you've got to get better on camera to be able to get those ideas out there and advance your career.
One of the things we sort of try to introduce people from the beginning is finding your style.
Yeah.
What is your style?
Interesting.
This is not one size fits all. And I don't think that the market is there yet for businesses and companies to be like, here's how we do video. You know, I thought 15 years ago, I was like, man, maybe someday I'll be a chief video officer for a company. They're going to need that. And I don't think we're really there yet. You know, maybe someday. So I think that empowering people to begin to find their way, because I think taking a step back, a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, the conference room will just translate to Zoom. Apples to apples. We'll be fine. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah,
there's a huge gap. So like you're saying, someone who's got, got ideas and have visions and have something to contribute, it's not getting done.
Yeah.
So there's still a gap there that we've got to figure out. One of our team members, Cornelius, has said something recently, and it's sort of relevant here. He says, camera presence is the new business casual.
Oh.
And I think about it, and I wish he was here to kind of say specifically what he thinks of it. But when you think of people adding color, adding vision, adding ideas to an org or a team or whatever they're trying to, it's not always done in like that formal manner. It's done with them using their gifts.
Yeah.
It's not like, I am a robot, here are my ideas. It's like, hey guys, what if we tried this? I had this crazy thought last night in the middle of the night. I woke up. What if we changed everything about the company? It's like, yeah. Like that's how you get energy injected into a project or a team or an org. And it's hard to do that when everyone's comatose on a Zoom because half the cameras are off. People are in like the dark, you know, like it's, we're slowing down here.
Oh yeah. Or you see half their head or whatever else. Oh, all right. These are just awesome tips and everything. How does this translate to podcasts though? Like how does media communication training, how does being better on video translate to podcasts?
I think it starts with imagination. First and foremost, because in the video sense, even if you're recording, well, let me take a step back. This is all about the audience. This is all about other people. This is all about connecting to one other person or millions of other people, but also having no control over where and when they are consuming you. So it starts with that self-awareness, but then it also involves imagination because, you know, when you are recording yourself on video, you need to imagine how somebody might be consuming you. Mm. You might, you know, we always tell people, it's not about you. This is not about you. It's about them. It's about that one person or those 10 people that you are envisioning listening to you and you're trying to give them an experience. And you've got to use what you got to kind of bring it through. So, and I'm, you know, I try to walk the walk. So even when I am on a Zoom call and I've got a tile of videos in front of me, I block them out mentally and I stare at the camera and I imagine what I want them to feel.
Ooh.
So, you know, so that's a little bit more challenging if I'm recording myself for a Loom or if I'm using my Canon to record something higher quality, or I'm talking to this microphone, my imagination is, you know, there's not a specific formula, but it's like, I'm thinking about other people somewhere, somehow consuming this and hopefully having them be interested, having them have questions, having them want to be like, hey, I want to learn more about Bedrun, or having them smile, you know, something simple. So I think that, but that right there, that sort of imagination of your audience, that's a muscle.
Yeah.
That can be toned and practiced and record, reflect, repeat. It's the same thing. The more you do it within the safe confines of your own space, the more comfortable you're going to realize you're not a monster. You don't sound as silly as you think you do or look. That's just our brains are designed. That's our brain's fault. If you can get over your brain telling you that you sound weird and realize that no one cares, you're going to sound great on audio, you're going to look great on video, and you're going to realize that even though it's not about you, it's about connecting to your audience, it's all for you.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And then here's the thing too, is more and more podcasts are leaning into video. A lot of these podcasts are being recorded on Zoom or StreamYard or Squadcast or Riverside or whatever it is. And even if they're not using that content for video purposes, for video sharing, you have got to engage. You have got to connect with the host or the guest there. And so there is that video element of it. However, more and more podcasts are actually using those videos. You were just on a video podcast. And for a lot of our clients, we'll grab 2 to 3 minute snippets of content for video and put them on LinkedIn and Facebook and all the social media platforms. So you've got to a degree, make sure you have a nice looking background. Make sure that you're pretty clear and make sure you have some sort of presence about you in that podcast episode, in that video, so that it can translate to social media too.
The visual element is such an opportunity that you could take advantage of or not. So I think that for podcasts who are recording any of it, it's beginning to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
But it also satisfies two things, I think. One is, you know, whatever, like the visual piece, the marketing piece, the, you know, get your video out there. But the reason for that is that people's brains are visual based. So people crave that. So you're giving people what they kind of need.
Right.
In some capacity. So that's the first step. It's like, you know, if you're going to talk into a mic, hit record on the camera. Might as well. Like, you don't have to use it, but at least just start doing it. But then you also have to think too, as we think about, you know, it's not about us, it's about the audience here. You know, what does the audience want? What does the audience need? How do they feel? And, you know, there's so much content out there. Yeah. I mean, that word I'm getting sick of saying, to be honest. there's so much of it out there, but there's a huge opportunity to make that audience member feel, and again, I feel silly using the word audience because that's so overused too. There's such an opportunity to make them feel unique. And that is the fun thing. And there's no one size fits all, but there are so many podcasts out there. There are so many videos. There's so much stuff that is trying to be crammed into people's minds that they're just people are so burnt and they're so oversaturated. Yeah, they're oversaturated. That it's like, I just think about someone just like eating till they're so full and just like they're getting huge. It's like, you know, what does that person want? Mm. And if you're still going to create something, what can you give them? And I think it's about making them feel, you know, unique, making them feel like you take their attention seriously. Mm. So this is where the visual thing, like, I don't know, like we're sitting here in a room right now, the audience can't see us. But there's, you know, there's a great brick wall. There's a great blue background, a great blue painted wall, like something in the visual that we could create that makes them like, oh, I want to keep watching this. I want to engage with it. Like, you know, and as creators, you have to think about that.
Yeah. And how do we take that to the next level too? All right. So I don't want you to give away secret sauce or anything sure. like that, but give the audience some tips that they can implement, you know, next week on how to be better on camera.
Great. So the biggest tip that if I wanted to, and I think I'd mentioned this to you when we were talking, I could take better on and make a business just on eye contact.
Oh.
I could just build a product that forces people to look into the camera. There's no other way to say it. I mean, eye contact is everything. And I'm talking to the audience, talking to you guys out there, if you look at and watch videos, whether it's for work or on YouTube or whatever it is, notice people's eyes. Notice people who look into the camera versus people who don't. It's, you know, you don't have to say anything. That's the most nonverbal connection you can do, especially now when no one's together. All you've got is your camera and your eyes, but it's not natural. So you have to override your brain to be like, I'm going to look into that small dot. I'm not going to watch myself on the screen.
Yeah.
Just that, if you can implement that, you're going to come off better. And hey, if you want to practice it and watch yourself and be like, that's how I look. I know how I look when I look into the camera. I mean, that's a lot of what our clients go through in the first week. They're like, wow, I never knew that I never looked into the camera. It's like going to have a cup of coffee with someone and never looking them in the eye. Like, mm-hmm. How awkward is that? Like,
it's very awkward. So, been there, yes.
Yeah, so that's one of the biggest thing. Another thing is that your body really matters. Your physical movement matters. Your smile matters. Mm. Over-accentuating yourself. And again, this is why practice matters. Getting used to being more than you're used to being is what it's all about. I tend to coin the camera as what I call the great speed bump. So one activity that we do with people is like, you know, whatever, tell a story normally and then do it again, but do it with more energy, mm-hmm. and then do it again at like a 11 out of 10 energy. And that 11 out of 10 energy kind of freaks people out because they're not used to doing that in many settings that are away from like their most authentic selves. And they're like, oh my God, this is going to be a train wreck. And they watch it and they're like, oh, that's average.
Yeah.
So just realize, again, this is where the muscle comes in. Just push yourself, do the reps, go to the gym, flex those muscles, do it for real or do it in a practice environment, but get used to feeling what it feels like to be in your body and your voice. And realize that what you feel like is not what people see.
Yep.
And the more people can connect to that rhythm and that cycle, that's part of the secret.
Man.
It's hard though.
Okay. So you mentioned you used to be in sales. I used to be in sales also, and we would record some of our sales calls. And what I realized is I have to think that I'm sounding like a lunatic for me to sound energetic and interested in what the prospect is saying. Isn't that nuts? Like I had to think that I was at what you said, like a level 11 for me to come across as if I was at a level 7. So Donald Thompson, my mentor, CEO of the diversity movement, former CEO of Walk West, great guy. He's probably the busiest guy that I know. Every time you were on a Zoom call with him, it's like his only Zoom call. It's like his first Zoom call that he's ever had, and he's excited about this Zoom call. When you know it's his 12th one of the day, and it's because of that body language. Like, he is smiling. He's like leaning in. Like, he's not drifting off checking emails or doing all these other things that you could be doing when you're on a Zoom call. And that engagement is what comes across. It's like, oh, wow, this guy thinks I'm important. And that's... It just feels good. And it's a skill that he has absolutely mastered. And sounds like that's what you're training as well.
And I mean, that's presence.
Yeah.
That dude is present.
Yeah.
And he knows it, you know, and I would love to ask him, like, how'd you get there? What did it take? You know, what training or just repetition did it take? Because that's what it's all about. And it's a feeling. You get a feeling from him.
Right.
you know, what we're talking about here, this is about energy. And it's very hard to put energy in a box as like, well, here's a skill we're going to give you. It's like, you can't just be like, all right, give us your, you know, pay the fee. Here's your authentic energy. Go use it. You know, you gotta create it.
Yeah. This is awesome. Any other tips for our audience?
Have fun.
Ooh,
have fun. Find a way to have fun. Laugh at yourself.
Yeah.
Please, please, please laugh at yourself. You know, mess up and just let it be. I think that's one of the greatest things. There's a lot of things that I don't lead with clients because I need them to find it for themselves. One piece of feedback we get often is that people think that it's like going to the dentist and they're like, hey, this was actually really fun.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, yes, it's not for everyone, but a lot of people think it's fun. Just give yourself permission to play, play around. Like, you know, like we're all just big kids anyway, we're all big kids who now have the tools to play around with all the things we didn't get to when we were kids. Cause That's it was right. like, you had to be on a TV station or like a DJ booth. Now it's like mess around. And, cause everybody has that inside of themselves somewhere. It doesn't mean you have to bring it to work. Doesn't mean, just again, this is why it's for people in themselves. It's like, instead of waking up every morning, looking in the bathroom mirror being like, do I look like the world wants me to, or do I look as perfect as the pressure I put on myself? It's like, stick your tongue out at yourself.
Right.
Just, you know, goof around. The world needs more of that.
Oh my gosh. I think about my kids and they have these little crappy cameras, right? And they just love taking the worst pictures of themselves. And like, they love putting themselves on video and taking all this stuff. Like, they could care less what they're looking like when they're doing that. They're just having fun. And that's what's memorable. That's what makes you, you. That's what we talked about before, that builds your personality and makes you interesting. So that's a great, great tip. Well, Ryan, I have loved every minute of this. When's the next cohort? You know, when's the next session?
Next session kicks off March 31st. So if anybody is interested in joining, or ideally their team or their entire company, betteron.com has all the info there. You can connect with us on how to get signed up. But yeah, we're excited. It's going to be a good cohort, and we're learning more as we go.
That's awesome. And it's a 4-week?
4 weeks. We tell people an hour of work maximum mm-hmm. per week, not minimum, because everyone is a perfectionist. And unless we put a a stop on their time, these perfectionists, and people have done this, they're like, Ryan, I spent 3 hours and I recorded 40 takes of this one activity and I still couldn't get it right. And it's just like, that is not what we're here for.
Right.
We want you to just get out, get in the rhythm, practice being yourself. Because this is a cycle. It's a cycle of realizing what people are being asked to do. It's a cycle of getting feedback asynchronously from someone who you don't know, building their trust, and then doing it a couple times to be like, oh, okay, I get it. And oftentimes after the end of 4 weeks, people are like, so what's next? I want to keep doing this. We do have a Better on an advanced course. So if you do graduate and you want more, we are ready for it. So yeah, come one, come all.
Fantastic. Well, everybody go check out betteron.com. Ryan Carey, thank you so much for joining us on the Earfluence podcast.
Appreciate it. It's been an honor.
Awesome. Well, everybody, if you are interested in full service podcast production or just some podcast training, podcast consulting, whatever it is on podcasting, connect with us as well. We're at earfluence.com, or send us an email to info@earfluence.com. Well, everybody, thank you for listening. I'm Jason Gillikin, and we'll see you next time on the Earfluence podcast.